City, Panama. Zuise is also the guiding teacher of the Ocean Mind Sangha, a virtual community of Zen practitioners. And this talk, like all of her talks, is offered freely. If you'd like to offer a donation to support Zuise's work, listen to other talks, or find out more about the Ocean Mind Sangha, please visit us at oceanmindsangha.org. Thanks for listening.
Oh, good evening, everyone. It's really good to be with you again. When I thought of doing this Pusatsu, I was thinking of an antidote. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew what happened was a possibility. And I thought, what would be a good medicine to meet the moment? And this is what immediately came up. This is the first time we do Fusatsu in the Ocean Mind Sangha. And if you have never done it, it is a renewal of vows ceremony, Uposatha in Sanskrit, which really means a day of observance. I think I mentioned this maybe when we were studying living by vow. Monastics would gather, and there are still sanghas that do it this way, would gather every 15 days or so, the days of the full and the new moons, to atone, to acknowledge and atone for transgressions. And the form that it has taken in our tradition, in our lineage, is a very similar to parts of the Jukai ceremony, the precept ceremony that so many of you were able to witness recently for Ninsei and Shinko and Seido. And so it is an opportunity to once again renew, make new our vows, our aspiration, to awaken, of course, for ourselves and for the sake of everyone. And so, you know, because renewing our vows is helpful periodically. I mean, it is always helpful, really. But I think it's especially helpful to do it in moments when the path seems to not be so clear. Right? Moments when the ground does not seem firm enough to hold our weight. When the things that we used to rely upon show themselves to be unreliable. But you know what that means? That moment is actually good news. It's actually excellent news. Because it means we can then turn all of our energy, all of our focus to that which is reliable. And so this is what we are doing today. Upon show themselves to be unreliable. It is good news because it focuses us. We get to the point where we can devote all of our effort, our energy, our attention to finding and walking on the ground that will actually hold us. The ground of reality. And so at moments like the one that we find ourselves in, we're no longer confused about what's most important, what needs protecting, and why. Our direction is no longer vague or ambiguous. in moments like this, we're not surprised by samsara. We don't really have to ask, how can this be? We know how this can be. And we know what we have to do to take care of it. So we are here tonight to remind one another of all that we do still have, all that we know and trust and are able to use to meet this moment. We're here to remind each other that assuming that tomorrow will be the same as today is actually delusion. This moment is not the same as the one that came before. I'm not the same. I'm not the same I was 10 years ago, a year ago, a month ago, a day ago. And when we see this clearly, when we accept it fully, then we are able to move at the speed of impermanence. We're no longer bogged down by shoulds and woulds, could have beens. We face very simply and directly and courageously what is. This is the Bodhisattva's path. This is the Bodhisattva's life. But the fact that today is not the same as yesterday, and tomorrow won't be the same as today, is good news also because this is how vow is possible. This is how practice and transformation and awakening are possible. One moment we're stumbling around in the dark, and in the very next moment, everything is filled with light. All that we see, all that we hear, all that we touch, filled with light. But why don't we see that in other moments? Because we don't see that. There's actually no mystery. We don't see it yet. But it really does only take an instant. It only takes one thought, one act to drop the blindfold so we can see things and ourselves as they really are. One action, like deciding you're going to phone bank up to the nth hour before election day. Like signing up to be a poll server, helping people fill out their voting sheets from noon until 9 o'clock. Like setting up a table with treats and a sign, or sending out an invitation to coworkers. If you're hurting, come. Come and let's be together. Like being the calm one in the boat, in the middle of a raging storm. We see that it doesn't actually take that much and that it changes everything. And it does not mean we don't hurt. It doesn't mean we don't wish sometimes that things were otherwise. But we just don't linger there because we know wishing won't lead to anything but disappointment. And we need all our energy to meet this moment. So that means we can't fritter it away. You realize this is what the Buddha meant when he spoke of training the mind. He wasn't just speaking about being quiet, focusing on the breath, not being distracted, He meant knowing what to focus on and what to let go. When to be very disciplined about what we take in, what we put out, and when to step back and relax and rest. We know we can't afford to go dark when the time is dark. We can't really afford to fall into despair. And why would we do that anyway, when this is not what a bodhisattva does? Remember Daito Roshi? The antidote to despair, he would say, is not hope. Essentially, it's action. He would say, hope? Forget about hope. A bodhisattva doesn't need hope. A bodhisattva has vow. That's how he would say it. A bodhisattva has vow. A bodhisattva gathers with other bodhisattvas to remember. This is how harm is created. This is how anger is created. This is how delusion and greed are created. Again, it's not a mystery. It's not a surprise. We may be heartbroken, but we're not surprised. So instead, together we vow to live with determination, with integrity, with clarity. Others shall be angry. We shall not be angry here. As the Buddha said to Kunda, Ananda's cousin, others shall be despondent, shall be divisive. We shall not be divisive here. Others will be driven by power, by gain. But our own lives? Our own lives will be fueled by care. I refuse to let you change me. I say to the establishment, I refuse to collude in samsara with you. I've said this before, and if I need to say it every hour of every day, I will. I will not allow your endless hunger to rob me of my clarity, my generosity, my kindness, my peace. I will not needlessly give you my time, my words, my ears, my attention. Because what I take in as sustenance must nourish me, and you don't. I will not hand over my power for you to abuse, to misuse. I will take responsibility for my own life. I will take responsibility for those moments in which I too create harm. That is why we began our liturgy the way that we did. All evil karma ever committed by me, because of my actions, because of my words, because of my thoughts, I now own it. And I atone for it. I become one with it. I am sorry. I am deeply, deeply sorry for hurting you. And I vow to not do it again. It's actually very simple. It's not always easy to do, but it's very simple. And recognizing that I might need help with this, I then invoke the many Buddhas of the past, of the present, of the future. Namu means being one with the past seven Buddhas, Shakyamuni Buddha, Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva of compassion, Manjushri, Bodhisattva of wisdom, Samantavadra, Bodhisattva of practice, Maitreya, the Buddha of the future. I invoke your names, I say your names, vowing to live as you have lived. I vow to embody what you embody, that wisdom and compassion and the unwavering desire to be free, to not create more trouble for this troubled world. And I will not tell myself that what I do doesn't really make a difference. I will not make myself small in that way, in any way. I'm not going to pretend that I have less power than I have. I will renew those four great vows that are really the cardinal points of our practice. To save all beings, which means to meet them with kindness, with interest, with care. I will abandon harmful desire. I will master the dharmas by letting everything teach me. Everything. And I will attain the unattainable Buddha way, which is unattainable because I'm already walking on that path. I have been walking all along on that ground of reality. Now I have, in a sense, no choice but to see it, recognize it. Like the man I spoke of, I can't remember his first name, Pistorius Mark, who had locked-in syndrome. He had no choice at a certain point but to wake up within that body that did not respond, but with a mind that was completely there, completely clear. He brought himself back into awakening. How? By paying attention, moment after moment after moment, in all of those moments in which he did not want to be there. He did not want that moment. He did not want his life. He did not want that reality. And he brought himself back. So when things become very real, we rise to match them. We become very real. And then it's even more clear what will help and what will harm. But if there is still any room for doubt, I will take refuge in that which is unassailable. I will see that I am one with Buddha, with Dharma, with Sangha. That I am one with the awakened mind of every Buddha in every place and time. And seeing this, I will once again give rise to bodhicitta, my aspiration to be and live as Buddha. I will study and investigate and live in accord with the teachings, with the Buddha's Dharma. The Dharma that is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. I will be that Dharma, letting its wisdom be vast in me, like the ocean, letting that water drench all that comes into contact with it. And I will humbly lead the people by word, by example, being the light that we all need. See, but that's the thing about darkness. You can't separate it from the light. And so when you are being swallowed by a bit of darkness, just remember, on the other side of that, just on the other side of that, is that light. You just have to find it. Just like day on the other side of night. And how we live, how we speak, how we think, how we act, will show one or the other. I know I, in this moment, choose that light. And that choice is both my right and my responsibility. I vow to hold it well, to live it well. May it be so.
For more talks, to get more information about Zuise's teaching, or to join her email list, visit us at oceanmindsangha.org.